Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Strange gospel reading for today. Not exactly what you may have been expecting. This last Sunday of the church year, often referred to as Christ the King Sunday, we're about as far away from Lent and Holy Week and Jesus' crucifixion as we can get, at least in terms of the calendar year. And yet this is our gospel reading for today. It may seem strange at first, and yet we'll notice how appropriate it actually is. In part, the whole of the gospel reading, as Jesus is going to the cross, and yet also helpfully one or two phrases in particular. This idea of King, King of the Jews. There's lots of people that apparently are watching, making all sorts of their own comments and thoughts, both those on the ground and those hanging next to Jesus. And yet most important for us today is what the soldiers have to say. Verses 36 and 37, the soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also this inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." But there was a key word in there. A key word in the statement and mockery of the soldiers. If. Sure, there's a sign above Jesus that states that he's some sort of king, but does anyone there at that moment actually believe that to be true? Maybe a few that aren't named. But I think at most, a few. So it begs the question today, if. Is Jesus king or not? King of the Jews? Or more importantly, as our hymn proclaims, as Revelation describes Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And when I ask this question, is he or not, I'm not talking about the subjective sense that some of our brothers and sisters in Christ fall into, and rightfully so. What I mean is, I'm not asking the question, is Jesus your king? Is he my king? This idea of Lord and Savior and someone who I submit to, that is important. But I'm talking in the objective sense. Whether you and I believe it or not, is this true? That Jesus is king over all or not? If he's not, if Jesus is not king, as he and the scriptures say he is, well, this affects a lot of aspects of our lives. And in reverse, if he is, it affects a lot of aspects of our lives. And so, briefly, I want to attempt to ponder some of these effects or implications on both sides of the coin. Certainly, I won't touch on everything because something this important, something this significant, a truth and reality to this degree, well, you and I could come up with a whole long list of implications and things that this affects. So there are probably ones, and rightfully so, that you will think of that I don't touch on today. But I want to share a few that came to my mind. If Jesus is not king, one of the things this means then is that you and I, and every single person in this world who has ever lived, we get to pick our own rules. Or at least we get to pick the set of rules that we like and agree with and the ones that we reject. The idea of right and wrong, the idea of morality, essentially goes out the window, or at a minimum is up for debate. We see this in our world, in our day, and throughout history we've seen the same dynamic at play. Because if there is not one who claims to be over all things, well, then we can argue about which set of rules is right or wrong. We can argue about which way is better or worse. We can debate, we can agree, we can disagree. And ultimately, we can choose to live and follow this one or that one. In a sense, we can choose to follow this philosophy or that philosophy, this moralistic way of living or that one. We can even choose, in a sense, which king, president, ruler, emperor, governor we want to serve and which ones we don't. If Jesus is not king over all, then we're left to decide among the smorgasbord of options set before us today and throughout history. Secondly, if Jesus is not king, then this life that you and I see, that you and I experience, is all there is. Might as well go all out. Might as well live as if there's no tomorrow. Might as well focus on the things that are better for you and yourself, or me and myself. The things that bring me joy and happiness. Because what does it matter whether you have anything that you need if this is all there is? Eat, drink, and be merry, right? Now, some of you may be thinking or say, well, maybe there's some sort of life after death. Certainly there are other religions, other philosophies, other ways of thinking, even those who might not seem to be religious at all, who would say that there is something after this. Maybe there is some sort of eternity. There's a whole plethora of ideas of what that may look like. Whether you are automatically going to be in that place or not. Whether you have to do something. Whether it's a flip of a coin. Maybe, maybe not. Or even what that place will be. Is it a good place? Is it a mediocre place? If it is a good place, what is good like? Because again, we, in a way, go back to the first point. You and I can debate and disagree and come up with each of our own opinions on what that may be like and how we get there, whether it's within our own control or not. Now, I will say, for both of these first two points, there's a lot that's enticing about these ideas. If Jesus is not king, if he is not the one who reigns over everything, if I can pick my own set of rules or morality, if I can just live life for myself, well, that provides me a lot of freedom, doesn't it? I can engage in this and that. I don't need to be concerned about things beyond this life. I don't need to be concerned about what others think. I can just do my own thing. And yet, if Jesus is not king, it still doesn't change the third thing that comes to my mind. Sin in this world. Whether you want to call it sin or not, what I mean is the fact that I hurt other people and other people hurt me. Or even when it isn't hurt directly from one person to another, the suffering that we deal with in this life. The hardships, the difficulties. If Jesus is not king, then these realities that you and I experience, certainly there's joy and happiness in some relationships for some of the time. But when relationships don't go well, when disease comes along, when hardship enters into life, if Jesus is not king, then these things just are. Do you have any hope for a better tomorrow? Maybe so. If Jesus is not king, maybe there is still some sense of hope for a better tomorrow. Maybe there's some hope in that doctor knowing exactly what I need. Or if not that one, then maybe that one. And if that one can't help, maybe that one. Or maybe that one. Maybe I'll try one more. Maybe I just assume that tomorrow is going to be worse than today. That the disease is going to get worse, that our world is going to get more chaotic, that things are going to fall apart and break apart more and more. That rather than my relationship with my spouse or my children or my parents or my coworker, do I have any reason to think or hope that I'm going to treat them any differently tomorrow or that they're going to treat me any differently tomorrow? Honestly, I think if we're being honest with ourselves, if Jesus is not king, there's very little hope for a better tomorrow, especially based on the track record of human history. I don't see much of an upward spiral when it comes to things in this world. If anything, I think it's a bit of a downward spiral. If Jesus is not king, what hope is there for something better? But what if Jesus is king? What if, as the scriptures testify, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, that this one Jesus, the Son of God, came and took on human form, humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, and that God has highly exalted him, raised him on the third day, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Or for our purposes today, is king to the glory of God the Father. What if this claim of Paul is true? Well, I think then, first of all, sin, hardship, difficulty, suffering in this life, they're still there, but they're seen differently. The sin of others against you, it still hurts just as bad. The disease or the hardship, the suffering, the difficulty, the perseverance that is necessary, it may still be just as difficult and necessary. But there's a different hope, in my opinion. Because if Jesus is king, then this gospel reading for us today that seems so strange actually becomes quite pertinent. Because the one who, even the sinner, the criminal hanging next to him, who says, "This man has done nothing wrong," this one who is hanged on a cross not for any offense of his own, but rather, as John says in his first letter, has become the propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but the sins of the whole world. He has paid a price, made atonement, appeased, you might say, God in His wrath. That this sin that others commit against you and me, and the sins that you and I commit against others, they're paid for. Doesn't mean the hurt necessarily completely goes away, but there is forgiveness, both from God for these sins that we humans enact, and also forgiveness between humans. And there's also hope for a better tomorrow. That things might actually be different, not by your doing or my doing, but by the King's doing in the world and among us. As through Him and His Holy Spirit, we may act differently. Or when it comes to the suffering and the difficulty, that just as we saw in Jesus' ministry, a glimpse of healing, a glimpse of a better tomorrow, where some who couldn't walk the next day could walk, where some who couldn't see the next day could see, where some who dealt with issues for years and years, now those issues were gone. And it's not necessarily to say that every issue and every hardship and every difficulty and every sin will be done away with here and now. But it gives us hope of a day to come where they will be done away with. See, this brings me again to the second point. That this life is not all there is. That what we see and what we live in here and now is not all there is to life itself, but actually, as the King tells us, there is more to come. There is an eternity that the King, who died but rose again and now lives for eternity, even though He ascended, He will come again. He has promised to do so. He is going to prepare a, not just a good place, but a great place. In fact, in the conversation with that criminal again on the cross, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, today you will be with me in paradise. You and I can still debate and argue what that place may look like, what all it may entail, and certainly the Scriptures lead and guide our understanding of that if Jesus is King. But regardless, paradise sounds pretty good, right? This, if Jesus is King, is what is still to come. A place where there will be no more sin, a place where there will be no more suffering, where there will be no more hurt and pain. Because the King has returned and brought along with Him all that He has accomplished. And there's not a question, an uncertainty of whether we'll be there, but rather a confidence. Not by our own doing, but because of His, and because of faith in Him, trust in Him. That just as He says to the criminal who doesn't deserve it, so He says to you and me, today you will be with me in paradise. But the third thing then, if Jesus is King, it means that we don't just get to pick our own way. It means that rules and morality aren't up for grabs or up for debate, but rather there is one way, the way of the King over all. His way, His truth, and His life. This Jesus, this one, if He is King, if He reigns over all, then He tells us how things are, both in this life and the life to come. And yet, this is a good and gracious thing. Because knowing Him, trusting Him, following Him, it means that we don't need to live, well, in our own ways, our own thinking, our own concoction of what is best, but rather we can strive to follow Him in His kingdom. Paul, I think, in a way, summarizes this idea in 1 Corinthians 15. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. He goes on a few verses later. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. There's an if. But Paul argues, as the apostles and even 500 saw Jesus with their own eyes, that Jesus has been raised from the dead and Jesus is King. And that changes everything. Because now, as Paul said in Colossians, we have been delivered from the domain of darkness, transferred to the kingdom of our Father's beloved Son. And we live with Him, under His leadership, under His guidance, under His way, and under His gracious and caring rule. We have a good King who has conquered Satan and even death. And so now, as we wait for Him to return, we follow Him, we serve Him, we trust in Him and Him alone, both here and now and in the life to come. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.